Happy New Year!
It's January 1st, everyone, and we hope that you are having a great New Year's Day. Maybe you stayed up late last night ringing in the New Year. We hope you have a restful day today. And it is a good time, in a sense, to talk about boosting brain power. That's our topic for today. Our health article begins today, and we start off the new year with that. And my name is Brandon. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom, and in the studio I have with me two panelists. First, welcome Lois.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be here, and it's wonderful to have a new year ahead of us.
It is. And Lois, do you have some things you're looking forward to in this new year?
I'm hoping in 2018 I can do a lot more traveling. Mm-hmm. Outside of Northeast Asia and North America. I want to see new and fabulous things.
All right. Well, there are a lot of countries to visit, and there are many possibilities there. We also have Linda in the studio. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you. Hi, everyone, and it's great to be here to start a new year with you.
What are you excited about in this coming year?
Well, like Lois, I would like to travel to new places as well.
For example?
Well, anywhere, any country that I haven't been to.
Okay, any country that you haven't been
very
to.
Very good.
All right, so there are many options there.
And how about you, Brandon?
Yeah, good question. It's a new year, and you know what I like to do usually at the beginning of a new year is I like to think of a word, which I believe we talked about this last month even. You think about a word for the year, and I need to come up with one. It's the first day of the year. I don't have it yet, so I'm going to show myself some grace, and maybe the next couple of weeks I can come up with one. But I like to have a word for the year. Maybe it's like hope or love, and you can focus on that. The hard part is remembering it and actually implementing that. But it's easier, you know, sometimes we think of a bunch of things or a bunch of resolutions, or maybe you just have one and we don't keep that. But a word can kind of follow you throughout the year, and it can maybe encourage or inspire you.
So what was your word for 2017?
Oh, my goodness. Can I remember? I believe it was hope.
Okay.
Hope. And that's always, you know, you can't really live life without hope. And so that's a good reminder to have that. So that's something you can think about, listeners. Do you have a word that you want to kind of define your year, something that's positive, something that will encourage you? But today we are talking about boosting brain power, and that's something I really need. How about you, panelists?
Oh, yes, definitely.
For sure.
What do you think of, Lois, when you think about boosting brain power? First of all, can you kind of tell us what brain power is?
Well, I would say right away brain power is the ability for your brain to think and do more.
Kind of the power that fuels
exactly.
your brain, right?
So I like the picture in the top of page 10 because it's a cartoon and it kind of shows I'm going to strengthen my brain. I'm going to build it up.
Yeah, it illustrates it wonderfully, right? It kind of gets the idea across. And there are different things maybe you think of when you talk about boosting brain power. Maybe you think of, you know, even having a cup of coffee or something like that to kind of get you going, get your body going, or to help your brain to perform better. How about you, Linda, when you think about boosting brain power, what is something that you like to do to help you to think better or to operate better?
Well, we're going to be talking about this later, but exercise helps me to feels like it helps me to boost it.
That's what I like about this article. When I read it, I think, wow, okay, exercise is important. We know that. I know we talk about that a lot, but it's always good to reemphasize that, especially if you're not doing it, because we can hear something a lot, but we still don't do it sometimes,
mm-hmm,
right?
Right. And you know what? We kind of think about these sort of things the first few days or weeks of January,
mm-hmm,
because we want to do something, as you mentioned before, Brandon, about a resolution. And often for people, it is to exercise more and eat healthier.
That's right. Well, let's actually get into our article. If you have your magazines, go ahead and open them to page 10, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Boosting brain power and overcoming stress. Expert advice on exercise, brain function, and how to fight against stress. Ask the Harvard experts. how exercise boosts brain function. Question. I keep hearing that exercise helps with memory and other brain functions. What's the connection? What types of exercise and how much do I need? Answer. Exercise boosts your memory and thinking skills both directly and indirectly. It acts directly on the body by stimulating physiological changes, such as reductions in insulin resistance and inflammation. Exercise also encourages production of growth factors, chemicals that affect the growth of new blood vessels in the brain, and even the abundance, survival, and overall health of new brain cells. It also acts directly on the brain itself. Many studies have suggested that the parts of the brain that control thinking and memory are larger in volume in people who exercise than in people who don't. Exercise can also boost memory and thinking indirectly by improving mood and sleep and by reducing stress and anxiety. Problems in these areas frequently cause or contribute to cognitive impairment.
All right, well, this month we are asking the Harvard experts, and we're talking about how exercise boosts brain function. And this is a Q&A, okay? So we're asking these experts. We are not actually asking them, but in the article, that is what they are doing. And what are they basically asking here, Linda?
Well, they're asking what exercise really does to help us with memory and other brain functions. Specifically, what types of exercise and how much exercise is needed.
That's good. You know, it's more specific that way, right? Well, is there a certain type of exercise that helps me? And I can do that. And so you know specifically what to do. And we talked about this, I believe, last month. When you're making New Year's resolutions, you want to be specific. If you make some general resolution, it's much harder to keep, isn't it, Lois?
It certainly is. So maybe some of our listeners are like me and they wear some kind of exercise calculator sort of thing
like
on their wrist. Like a Fitbit or this is a Garmin, and you wear it on your wrist and you find that it kind of motivates you and it boosts me to do more exercise, whether that be walking or jogging or doing stairs, something like that.
And there are apps on your phone that can do that as well. Of course, if you have that right there on your wrist, it's more accessible. But we do have this question here, and it's about exercise and how does that help you? How does that boost your brain power? And the answer starts off with exercise boosts your memory and thinking skills. That's great news. It makes me want to go out for a run right now. If you're feeling kind of sluggish, maybe it's because you haven't exercised recently. If you're not thinking very clearly, or you know your brain doesn't seem very sharp, well, maybe you can do some exercise. So it says here that you know it boosts memory and thinking skills both directly and indirectly. And as we go through this article, we'll learn about both of those impacts, directly and indirectly. If something's direct, you're involved in something, or it has, it's an impact that you can, it's more tangible, or you can see that. And indirectly, it may be other things are involved, but, you know, it still, impacts you, some way. Well, as we continue on, it acts directly on the body. And how does it do that, Linda?
It stimulates physiological changes within the body, such as reductions in insulin resistance and inflammation.
Okay, and that word stimulating, if something's stimulating, it encourages something to grow. So it encourages these changes. And then we have a word there, physiological.
Yeah, physiological. And I'm glad they put this in our specialized terms, Brandon, so we can refer to it later. It says relating to the study of the way living things function.
Okay, so you might think of the way the body works, right? And we're talking about these different changes in the body and the way the body works. And
yeah,
we have these examples.
I sometimes think of it as almost like machinery. How does the body operate,
yes.
Right? And you do want to know that.
So we talk about reductions in insulin. Insulin is a hormone in the body and actually controls the amount of sugar in the blood. We use this term a lot when we talk about diabetes. And then also we have the term inflammation, which is what, Linda?
when something becomes inflamed. So it's an indication that something is wrong. A body part will become inflamed.
Like swollen, right? And oftentimes
right.
it's red and painful and as a result of the inflammation.
Exactly.
Okay, well, exercise, it also encourages production of growth factors, and we're talking about chemicals here, and what do they affect, Lois?
Well, it says the chemicals that affect the growth of new blood vessels in the brain, and even the abundance, survival, and overall health of new brain cells.
I love this because it makes me think, I really need to exercise because look at what it does. It mm-hmm. sounds pretty powerful, doesn't it?
It does sound pretty powerful, and I think I shared this with our listeners last year. I had a small stroke in 2017, so I learned a lot about this, and I found out how important it is for my brain to repair to get exercise. And the neurologist explained it to me. He tried to do it in terminology that I would understand.
Yeah.
But it was very beneficial. And, you know, I sometimes think people just think of exercise or their health as lots of times with women, it's focused on getting a lot slimmer, right? But here it says, look what it's doing for your brain. Look what's happening to the new blood vessels. Look what's happening to your brain cells. Look what's happening to your overall health.
Well, Lois, did they share something specific that you could do? Is it walking or what?
Yeah, they, basically exercise that breaks a sweat. And, you know, folks, lots of walking, especially in the evening after you've finished your meals for the day. And it should really be a minimum of 45 minutes, like basically 6 or 7 days a week. Yeah, and you want to have it at a good pace.
Right, and it's important to do that. And we've discussed that before. Different studies have been conducted that say that walking, of course, is great for you, which we kind of know that. But sometimes when we see the stats, it just reinforces that. And then we also see another way that it acts directly on the brain.
Right, so it does this. Well, studies show that that parts of the brain, when you exercise, right, the parts of the brain that control thinking and memory become larger in volume after exercising. Well, they become larger than those in people who don't exercise.
So you have a bigger brain.
You have a bigger brain. Do you get a bigger head when you have a bigger brain?
I hope not. I'm pretty big enough. So that's another, you know, benefit of exercising. The problem is, or the issue, is consistency, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hear this, we think, okay, I'm going to go walk for 45 minutes, just as Lois recommended. And as I'm sure doctors, of course, have certain recommendations about that. But you have to keep it up.
You have to. And you have to do it consistently, like we've taught that word before. And, you know, you got to not let the weather discourage you, because a lot of people feel that they really benefit once they do exercise outside. So just because it's too hot or too cold, dress appropriately and have your water cold or warm with you.
I can come up with a million excuses not to exercise. It's raining, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too, I don't know, I just don't want to do it.
Right.
The dog's standing in the way of the door.
Yeah, they're so, right. You know, so you have to, you know, we've said many times before, get someone to help you, like a running buddy, whatever it is, to help you be accountable. Well, we talked about, you know, how exercise is boosting your memory and thinking skills directly. What about indirectly?
Well, it's doing it indirectly by improving your mood and sleep and by reducing stress and anxiety.
This is even better news, you know? You improve your mood. So many, sometimes I've gone, you know, I've not been in a great mood, and I go out for a run, and I feel so much better. It's like, why am, you know, it's amazing sometimes just what a little exercise will do.
I notice the whole sleep factor that we talk about. If I exercise, I used to always think, oh, I can't exercise in the evening. It'll, you know, stimulate me and then I want to stay up all night. It doesn't work that way. If you do it early enough in the evening.
Right. That's it.
You
some
know,
people,
so,
I think if you do it too late,
yeah,
it will
exactly.
You,
but if you do it early right. enough in the evening and say you don't go to bed till maybe between 10 and 11:30, you probably will get a fantastic night's sleep.
Yeah, and so it's good to, of course, you know, reduce stress and anxiety, and so that's another benefit of exercising. And so we have some incentives here for going out and getting some exercise. And then we talk about problems in these areas. Do what?
They can frequently cause or contribute to cognitive impairment. So here, see the word cognitive, and that just deals with our mental process, our brain functioning, our thinking. And so if you have an impairment to this brain function, it's a weakening or diminishment of your brain function.
Okay, all right. So if you're not getting enough exercise, it can cause problems. You may not function as well, of course, and your brain may not be on point, maybe as sharp and so forth. And, you know, there are other things we do. We drink coffee, and that's, you know, there are studies that say drinking a certain amount of coffee is good for you, but don't forget about exercising. Getting a cup of coffee is the easy thing to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But going out and exercising is very important. And so we've kind of got, you know, part of the answer here, but we have more. We're going to talk about specific types of exercises, one better than the other and so forth, that, as you remember, is part of the question. And that is in our next reading. So let's have our last reading for today.
Is one exercise better than another in terms of brain health? We don't know the answer to this question because most of the research so far has looked at walking. But it's very likely that other types of aerobic exercise that gets your heart pumping will yield similar benefits. We also don't know how much exercise is best for the brain. Aim for an initial goal of 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity exercise, such as brisk walking. More is likely better, perhaps working your way up to 45 to 60 minutes of dedicated exercise time most days of the week. Based on the studies, the effects are not immediate. It takes about 6 months to see some of the cognitive benefits of regular exercise.
Okay, so is one exercise better than another one in terms of brain health? And that's a good question. And so that's something that we are asking here. And do they know the answer, Linda?
No, they don't really know the answer because most of the research so far has looked at walking as the...
All right, we've talked about walking a lot already. We know that that is good for you. But, you know, it says here there are probably other types of exercise that you can do, and they mention aerobic exercise. And what are some types of aerobic exercise, Lois?
Well, I'm a product of 1980s,
yeah,
because I became an adult in the 1980s. So aerobic exercise was definitely part of my younger years, and aerobic exercise always got your, you know, heart pumping and your lungs doing more work, and you seem to have a lot of benefits from it, and you seem to be able to improve your muscle tone. And but aerobic exercises are often still shown on television, so it's movement, and it's going at quite the pace, and you're also usually concentrating on different parts of your body for an amount of time.
Right.
So it might be your upper body strength, your lower body strength, your arms, your legs.
Whatever gets that heart to pumping,
yeah,
right? So they're saying those types of exercise will likely do something similar or have similar benefits.
Right, just sustained exercise that increases your heart rate and ends up improving your oxygen consumption. So it can include running, cycling, dance.
Oh, you awesome. Mentioned something that you do a lot of, cycling, right?
Yes, I do.
And
cycling is a good form of exercise.
Right. And Lois, are there other things that you like to do besides walking?
Yes, definitely. And it was something that I did maybe halfway through 2017. I was doing a lot of walking, but at going at quite the the speed and also uphill because I was going to do a fair bit of hiking in Alberta, Canada. Mm. And if anybody's been to the Rockies there, you know you have to be in half-decent shape if you're going to hike there. And so I did things that maybe in preparation made me think of aerobic exercise because one of the things I wanted to do is improve oxygen consumption. That was one of the things I really wanted to see improvement in myself.
That's right. Okay. Well, there are many things that you can do. Just choose, you know, something that you enjoy, whether it's cycling or running or hiking or something
else. I love hiking. You get a view.
That's right. Yeah, you can actually enjoy nature and, you know, exercise at the same time. So it goes on. It says, we also don't know how much exercise is best for the brain. So this is another good question. Not only which type of exercise, but how much should I do? And they do give us some guidelines, don't they, here, Linda?
They do. So for if you're just starting out, have an initial goal of 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity exercise. And so that ends up being like three times a week, 50 minutes three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
But more is better, is likely better.
Okay.
So you should work your way up to 45 minutes to 60 minutes of exercise for most of the days. So every day, like Lois was saying earlier, you should try to exercise every day.
All right. So they have this initial goal, you know, of 150 minutes per week, and then you can get to where you do 45 to 60 minutes per day. Now, we're at the beginning of a new year, and we've talked about, you know, setting goals, and last month we talked about, you know, don't make these big, huge resolutions that you can't keep. You know, you can start off small, right? And so it says here an initial goal. So start off with something that is attainable, something that you can reach. Maybe it's a little challenging, but don't, you know, go crazy and set some high goal.
Right. You know, I think both for men and women, sometimes you have allowed yourself to get out of shape. And, you know, maybe you have put on quite a number of pounds. Don't let that discourage you. You're not going to start with even like 30 minutes per day. You're probably going to start with 10 or 15 minutes per day.
Mm-hmm.
And you work up to that. And I always think, you know, when we're in that first week or two or three of January, you got a whole year ahead of you. And some people think they have 12 days. You know, they're too hard on themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
And we just got to really think, wow, I've got these 365 days ahead of me, and I'm going to get back into boosting my brain power, overcoming stress, and getting myself in shape.
And you may think, I don't have time. We often say things like that, but you would be surprised, or you could make time, right?
Mm-hmm.
During your lunch break, maybe you can walk or
exactly.
something like
all
that.
The time that you're looking on social media, that can be used to go exercise.
No, that's not acceptable. No,
yes.
Of course, yes.
She's making a great point.
All right, we can find ways to be more efficient and hopefully save time and use that time wisely. So they give an example here of what moderate intensity exercise is. Brisk walking, of course, that's walking at a faster pace, and that's something that you can do as well. So more is likely better. Well, that makes sense, right? It's not a surprise. More is better. Perhaps working your way up to 45 to 60 minutes a day, as we've already discussed. And it has, you know, that term there, dedicated. We need to be dedicated to this. We need the big picture to help us know the purpose behind why we are doing it. What is your big goal behind exercising? And, you know, hopefully it's to stay in good health.
Right. One of the tricks I do, and this is easy if you take public transit to work or home from work. When I'm going home from work, I get off four bus stops early.
Yeah.
And then I have to walk home, and my walk home is basically uphill.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Linda's run into me, and she's biking, I'm walking, and I just keep going, and I go, you know what? Doesn't seem that big a deal, and it actually helps relieve the stress of the day, clears my mind, and you just feel like it becomes a habit, too.
Right, right. That's a great idea. You can just do these little things that kind of, you know, help you to, you know, get the exercise that you need.
Actually, that day that I ran into Lois. It was raining that day.
Wow.
So it's best not to do it in the rain, but it shows you that...
We were both dedicated.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be an obstacle.
And that's a beautiful, you know, picture of what it means to be dedicated, right? Good. All right. Well, in the last paragraph, it says, based on the studies, the effects are not immediate. That's a good reminder. Lois was talking about, you know, we want to do something for 12 days or whatever, and we want to see immediate results. We're used to that in our society, going through a drive-through or, you know, fast food and social media. Everything is so immediate, but this is something that takes time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're going to do it a healthy and natural way.
And how long exactly do they say it would take?
About half a year, about 6 months to see these benefits, these cognitive benefits.
Right. So you can start this week and then, you know, reassess and maybe 6 months or something like mm-hmm. that. And don't be too hard on yourself, you know, right. Show yourself some grace. You need to be disciplined, but you also, if you don't meet your goal, then it's okay. You can try to do better, and you can be thankful that you're doing more than you were before, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, speaking of being thankful, it is a new year, and as you look ahead to this year, you can think about goals and things that you want to achieve, but you can also look back to last year and be thankful for the things, you know, that you had in your life. Maybe it was a rough year, but there's still some things that you can be thankful for if you have your health and family and so forth, and there are things that we can always be thankful for. So this is a good time to reflect as well as look ahead. Well, we have more tomorrow to talk about. We're going to be talking about stress. We discussed that a bit today, but we're going to be talking much more about that on tomorrow's program. We also have our Topic Talks videos. If you would just scan the QR code there at the top of page 10, you can view our videos there or go onto our website at studioclassroom.com. And you can view them there as well. Also, while you are there at studioclassroom.com, you can give us your feedback about this article. This is a relevant topic, and so maybe you have some thoughts. Please let us know. Well, we hope you will join us again tomorrow for day 2 of our health article. We hope you enjoy your New Year's Day. Until tomorrow, this is Brandon.
Lois.
Linda.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.